Okay, we got a fun one here today on Locked On Vols. Tennessee 66-46 over South Carolina, back in the win column. VFL Ron Slay will join the show to talk Tennessee hoops. Josh Ward will also stop by to talk Tennessee hoops, Tennessee football, recruiting, and a whole lot more. We are loaded up on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. In today's episode, it's brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/locked for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Today's show is brought to you by NetSuite. This is Locked On Vols, 5 days a week, every weekday morning when you wake up, available and free on every single platform. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find me and the show on Twitter, social media at _Kaner, at Locked On Vols, and on Facebook at Kaner On Air. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, the flagship station for the Tennessee Volunteers. That's 99.1 The Sports Animal. I also write and contribute for the VolQuest.com website. That is the rival site covering Tennessee, where I'm on staff over there as well. For those of you new to the show, hey, thanks for joining us. Hope you will stick around and you like what you hear today. So, as you heard in the cold open, a couple of guests on today's show, so I'm going to try to get out of the way. But first, we do need to break down the Tennessee basketball win over South Carolina, or as you guys like to call him, USC Junior. So we'll get Ron Slay in segment two and Josh Ward to wrap things up in segment three. So, Tennessee, 66-46, the final score. And, yeah, I mean, that was good. Anytime you get a 20-point victory in conference play, especially with as good as the SEC is this year, that's something to celebrate. So Tennessee bounces back from an ugly win against Ole Miss, but a win's a win, and then a loss that just was dreadful to watch on the Bayou over the weekend. Tennessee does bounce back, a 20-point win over South Carolina. We'll start with the good, but, of course, you know there's always some bad that comes along with it as well. Tennessee shot the ball a lot better in this game, 44% from the field. That was great. Tennessee shot, considering what it did against LSU, shot a little bit better from three. It wasn't great at times, 33%, 7-21. All right, so that's a little bit of good. John Fulkerson, we talked about it on Monday's show. How would he respond? Though I do think he lacked at times, he responded well. 10 points, 7 rebounds. He was 5 of 8 from shooting. Okay, Fulkerson had one shot attempt in that LSU loss. He shot the ball 8 times, made 5 of them in this game. So 10 points, 7 rebounds for John Fulkerson in 28 minutes played. I would consider that a good bounce back. Of course, there's areas where he can continue to improve. Santiago Vescovi, 14 points. He led the way in scoring. However, it was not that pretty. He was 2-9 from 3, started 0-6 from long range, but he was 5-12 overall from the field and 14 points, 5 assists as well for Vescovi. He has clearly been one of Tennessee's best players this year. I mean, you can make the case for Chandler. You can make the case for Kumwa at times, but I mean, Vescovi might very well be Tennessee's MVP so far this season, but he led the way with 14 points. You had two other players that scored in double figures, 11 points from Josiah Jordan-James, and this is good because you guys know I am a believer in Josiah Jordan-James. For all the bad that he does offensively, he does so much for this team athletically on defense, guarding 1-5, rebounding, assisting, all that type of stuff. He had a double-double, 11 points and 12 rebounds for Josiah Jordan-James. Had a nice little buzzer beater there at the end of the first half to put Tennessee up by, I believe it was 30-24. So Josiah Jordan-James, a pretty solid game, 3-6 shooting from the field, 2-4. From three ball. And then Zakai Ziegler, the other volunteer, the fourth volunteer to score in double figures, 11 points, strong offensively, 5 of 8 from the field, 1 of 3 from downtown. He had 4 assists as well. He brings so much energy. He brings so much energy to the court, does Zakai Ziegler, and that's a big reason why Barnes likes to play him an awful lot. Plus, he's a good defender, and he doesn't lack for confidence in terms of his defense, even though he should be, he's about 5'6" and should be a senior in high school right now. He played 23 minutes on the night. So those were the positives. More shot attempts for John Fulkerson, had 8 shot attempts. Olivier Kumwa shot only 5 times, scored 6 points. Had 4 rebounds. He just kind of stayed out of the way a little bit. Only played 10 minutes, however. Uros Plofsic, coming off the strong game against LSU, was held scoreless, did have 3 rebounds. Brandon Huntley-Hatfield played only 2 minutes again, 0-1 from the field. I didn't think that he played particularly well when he got into the basketball game. But, you know, and then Kennedy Chandler is a name I haven't mentioned yet. He finished with 8 points, 2 of 7 from the field. Not his best shooting outing, but had 5 rebounds, had 3 assists, played 25 minutes. It all starts through him. So those were some of the positives, okay? Here, and plus the biggest positive of the game, Tennessee's defense. You held South Carolina to 46 points, 24 in the first half, 22 in the second half. South Carolina shot just 35% from the field, attempted only 49 shot attempts, making only 17. South Carolina turned the basketball over 23 times. So Tennessee's defense just suffocating, okay? Tennessee's offense held the lead 29 minutes and 51 seconds of this ball game. And I said Tennessee's offense, really Tennessee held the lead for over 29 minutes in this ball game. But a large part of that was because of the suffocation of this defense. South Carolina finished the ball game going 1 of 9 in that current trend. So good things. Fulkerson bounced back. You got more shot attempts from Fulke. You had a double-double bounce-back game from Josiah Jordan-James. Vescovy started off horrid, especially from behind the three, but finished with 14 points. He finished strong. Zakai Ziegler played well, played good defense. Tennessee forced a lot of turnovers, and Tennessee held South Carolina to just 35% from the field. Those are the positives. Now it's time for the negatives. We'll start on those 23 turnovers for South Carolina. 23 turnovers for the Gamecocks. Tennessee only scored 21 points off 23 turnovers. That is not getting it done. You talk about missed opportunities. 21 points from Tennessee off of 23 Gamecock turnovers. That is just not great. And the biggest thing, you guys know what I'm about to say. You guys are waiting on it, and I'm saving it till the end. Tennessee goes 11 for 25 from the charity stripe. You cannot be taken seriously. You cannot be considered a threat in the SEC or in the country when you go 11 of 25 from the free throw line. It is inexcusable. We talk about how this team lives and dies by the three. Well, most nights they do. Tonight, not necessarily. Shots were falling from the mid-range and from the block a little bit, okay? But when shots aren't falling from three and you can't score any other way, you get to the charity stripe like you did against LSU. But you didn't make them against LSU. You didn't make them against South Carolina. You are lucky you won a game by 20 points by going 11 of 25 from the free throw line. Just inexcusable. That should never, ever, ever happen. So that was bad. How about Justin Powell? 19 minutes in this ball game, did not take a shot. How is that even possible? Powell, 19 minutes, doesn't take a shot. So is any game going to be perfect? No. There's always going to be something we're going to nitpick. That's why you watch film. That's why you got a stat sheet. It is what it is, right? Georgia missed a ton of tackles the other night. In their national championship. I don't want to say a ton. They missed tackles, meaning they weren't perfect, okay? Tennessee wasn't perfect on Tuesday night, but they still got a 20-point win, 66-46 over South Carolina. But the big test coming up on Saturday, another big test here in SEC play. Tennessee will take on Kentucky, and that's just another one of those SEC powers coming off a big win last night over Vanderbilt by a score. I want to say they won by about 15. I could be wrong there, but Tennessee will take on Kentucky at Rupp Arena at 1 o'clock Eastern time, and that is the next challenge for the Volunteers. So, all in all, a good night. It's fun when you watch a team who wins, but they're still so many points being left off the court, and you can't expect to be good teams when you're leaving so many points just out there on the floor. And so the challenge for Tennessee will be to fix that. But Fulkerson bounce back, James bounce back. Those are two guys that Tennessee's got to have playing well if you want to accomplish anything this season. Final score, 66-46. Tennessee takes down South Carolina. The Volunteers move to 11-4 overall and 2-2 in SEC play. We'll check up with Ron Slay, VFL, when we return. And I do want to tell you, disclosure, we recorded this before both Josh and Ron before the game on Tuesday night. Couldn't really, you know, as far as both of those guys scheduling to talk with them this week, it just kind of worked out to where I had to talk with them on Tuesday during the day. So it's not going to be anything specific about that South Carolina game. Just want to let you know, both Josh and Ron Slay, those interviews were recorded before the ball game against South Carolina on Tuesday night. But still great stuff, and we'll get to it on the other side. We are going to Built Bar. Built Bar. It's a New Year's resolution, and you want to look your best, be your best, getting fit, eating healthier. Make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. It makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because it tastes so good, you're going to want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which may be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you're going to want to eat something that's healthy and that tastes good and what's covered in 100% chocolate. That is a Built Bar. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein compared to a candy bar, your routine candy bar that's got around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Okay. There's so many flavors as well with the Built Bar. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and a whole lot more. Where do you find them? It's all Built.com. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code to get 15% off your order. That promo code is LOCK15. So promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. And you guys know this podcast. You know me. I'm Eric Kane, and this is Locked On Vols. And I've got to share with you an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. That is called GetUpside. My listeners right now are making up to 25 cents off every gallon of gas every time they fill up, okay? Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents off per gallon on your first fill-up. That is up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use that promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time using your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use that promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE at GetUpside. VFL Ron Slay now joins the show. Also, the co-host of 3HL. That's on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Ron, you're not only covering basketball now, you're covering football games. You're interviewing all types of important people. How's work been the last couple of months?
Hey, man, it's been phenomenal. Like, just being able to stay this close to the game and then not just basketball, like you said, all sorts of games. Like, I'm a fan of the sports, period. Whether it's hockey, whether it's soccer, basketball, football, the list goes on and on, man. And this has been a great ride, man. I couldn't script this any better.
Well, also something else now to your resume, really, is sitting in for Burt Bertelkamp, the legend on the Vol Radio Network call. You did that on Saturday at LSU. I know the game didn't turn out the way you wanted to, but how much fun was calling your first Vol Network basketball game?
Man, that was a great time. Like, the most difficult part was trying to fill in for Bert and figure out what I was going to say instead of money. I couldn't do my man's trade, Mark. So, man, even though Bert, I know he wouldn't have mind, man, I was like, man, I can't do his thing. You know what I mean? I got to try to come with my own flavor, but I had a great time, man. Bob did a tremendous job. Tim did a tremendous job setting me up. John Wilkinson back in the studio. Like, everybody played a part in it, man, and made me so comfortable. The only thing about it, man, I think Bob may have to wear some shoulder pads and thigh pads because I grabbed him so much during the game. He told me at halftime, like, hey, man, you don't have to keep grabbing me. I'm like, oh, my bad, Bob.
Yeah, something you'd have to get used to for sure. hey, Ron, when you look at this basketball team, I know it's early on in the season, 10-4, you know, not a bad record whatsoever, 1-2 in conference play, but a lot of work to be done with this basketball team, a team that looks like right now, Ron, it lives and dies by the three, and it's died a whole lot more and it's lived by that three. What must this team do over the next couple of weeks in order to become the basketball team that it can be, at least on paper?
Man, they honestly have all the pieces. They just got to have the guys that they rely on. These are guys that they've come to know. Like, guys like Fulkerson, Olivier's doing this part, Santi's doing this part, Kennedy's living up to what he's supposed to be. Like, everybody across the board is being who they are supposed to be. It's just not consistently. You know, you get an output in 24-10 from Fulke, and then he comes back against LSU and is like a deer in headlights, in a sense. So, yeah. Man, you got to have a low post presence when the game slows down and you need a bucket, and especially on the road. You know, rims aren't friendly on the road. And for a three-point shooting team, everyone knows that. So when you slow the game down and you need to stop a run, you got to be able to get something close to the basket, whether that's penetrating and driving. And they did a great job of that against LSU to start the game. Like, those shots that they were getting were uncontested threes. They were throwing it down in the post and kicking it back out after two or three dribbles with the defense helping and digging in. And you were getting wide open looks. That's why you can live with those shots if you miss those, because at least it's touching the paint, which makes the defense collapse, which makes it a long closeout, or you make teams get into a scramble on defense. So you got to have that presence. And the presence is an all-SEC performer. That's Fulkerson. So, I mean, he got to step over Huntley. Hatfield got to understand his role and work on getting angles. Olivier, he got to quit floating out there at the three-point line. Like, somebody has to go down low and say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice whatever it is to get down here in this paint and create something.
I was going to ask you, what do you make, and he's done this before, maybe not to the extent that he did the other day, but what do you make of Rick Barnes kind of challenging John Fulkerson, some of his comments he made post-LSU? To me, I think it's a mountain out of a molehill. We just have to have something to talk about. I think it's a coach coaching his player, but from a former, obviously a player and, you know, a guy that's been around the game, what did you make of what Rick Barnes said about John Fulkerson?
Man, that's what I'm looking for, especially, like, if I'm a freshman, maybe I can't handle it. If I'm a sophomore, it's going to be iffy. But we got years, we got at least a year and a half of equity built up where you can talk to me that way. If I'm a junior or a senior or let alone a fifth year or a super senior, oh, no. I'm expecting it of myself, and I expect you to call me out. Because guess what? You're not doing your job as a coach. If you're not relying on me, you can't put it in the basket. You calling plays for me. You putting me in the game. The team relying on me. Everybody picked me to be all SEC. Guess what? I got to deliver. That's just a part of it. These guys look for leadership. He did the same thing when he was coming up. Like, he saw these. This is nothing new. He saw it with Grant Williams. He saw it with Admiral Schofield. Hell, he saw it with Kyle Alexander. Like, everybody answered the bell. That's a part of the game. You want to be coached hard if you're that type of player. If you're not, you need to go play in a good guy contest where we can pat you on the back for everything good you do. You know, this is reward. You know, you get rewarded for what you do good. It ain't nothing that we're going to anticipate you doing. Go out there and do something, and then we'll pat you on the back. But that's what's expected, man. You got younger guys, so many young guys on this team that you need somebody to look to. Fulkerson's that guy to look to. Josiah's that guy to look to. Santi's becoming that guy to look to. After those three, it's a coin toss. You know what I'm saying? So, who as a coach do you depend on? I can't go out there and play for you. All I can do is give you strategies and then depend on you to carry it out. That's it.
Hey, that good guy contest, I've won it a few times, Ron.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong. Hey, and ain't nothing wrong with a good guy contest at all.
Hey, one of those guys you just mentioned, and I want to ask you about him, Josiah Jordan James. I mean, he, gosh, you really appreciate the type of player he is because he impacts the game in so many different ways. But offensively, it's not been great so far this season. Over two-thirds of the shots that he's taken this season have been three-pointers. What does Josiah need to do offensively to kind of find his groove?
Man, you know what? I think a little bit of that is the rotation, how it's set up. I love him when he's at the four because he's a little bit more in the elbow and he's the guy setting the screen and then reacting after the screen. When he's at the three, it's a little different because you have to have the floor space. So the ball's working inside, and when it's rotated back around, a lot of times he's in the position after the second rotation to have an open shot because he has a guy closing out long. So it's tough, man. You want him to take those shots. You know what I mean? You're confident in him. You know he puts in the work in the gym. But I almost look more when he's in the small lineup. But if you do that, then you're asking somebody else to fill that void, whether it be Powell, whether it be Victor Bailey Jr., somebody of that sort, you know, whether it be Ziegler, and they go with a smaller lineup. So it's all about addition and subtraction with him. You know, where do you put him and who do you put in for him? If you take him out, who do you put in for him? So, I mean, I'm a guy that loves for him to take the open shot. It's going to fall. I got confidence in him, man. And one thing I know about him and his coaching staff, they're putting him in the gym and he's getting the work done. And he's seen the work done before him. He knows what it takes. Would I love to see him pump fake and drive a little bit more? Without question. But what do you do when a guy's closing out? Pump fake, let him close out, then swing it? You know what I'm saying? So it's a catch-22 in a sense. So, I mean, he's got to be wise. put himself in better position. Even if he does catch it and the guy closes out, it's okay to walk him down. You know, do the old school Mark Jackson. Walk him down into the block. He did it a couple of times. Olivier did it a couple of times. So it'll work, and the offense is patient enough for him to do that. It's just he has to take it by the reins and do it.
VFL Ron Slay, last couple of things here. It's a two-part question, then we'll get you out the door. One, when is too late? I mean, we're talking about trying to find your groove and all that type of stuff, and a loss, right. A loss at this point in the season, it's not the end of the world. When is too late to where you need to be hitting that stride? And secondly, what do you make of this SEC so far this season? Auburn looks good. LSU, we saw the other day. Kentucky's still there. Mm-hmm. Alabama's been hot and cold. What do you make of the SEC?
Man, I think the SEC, man, it's a season within a season. Within a season. You know what I'm saying? You're almost going three parts. You got the beginning stages here, and then eventually you'll have the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and then you'll have the latter part of the season. Then you go into the tournament. So as far as when it's too late, in a sense, it's never really too late because the conference holds so much weight. Now, when you get after that Big 12 SEC Challenge, if you drop a couple that you shouldn't and you have to go on a stretch in the last four or five games, you need to win all of them, I think you're kind of putting yourself back against the wall and you're kind of relying on the SEC tournament to kind of thrust you ahead and get you into the tournament. But you can't go win-loss. If that's your pattern, you're in trouble, man. So I think they got to put a string of wins together moving forward. And hopefully too late ain't after 10 games right now the way we're going. Hey, fans, man, be cool. Y'all just relax. Hey, relax, man. Relax, relax, relax. One game, long season. One game does not dictate coaching, playing, any of that. Just relax.
VFL Ron Slay. Thanks, brother.
Bye.
Always a pleasure having the VFL Ron Slay onto the show. Big thanks to him for making the time. We'll catch up with our buddy Josh Ward for a little Ward Wednesday action to end this Wednesday here when we return. But before all that, this is it. It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade, and you need to go to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow, and it's all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses have increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses are already using NetSuite, so for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head over to netsuite.com/locked for the special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. It's netsuite.com/locked.
Josh Ward joining the show for a little Ward Wednesday, and Josh, let's go ahead and start. Not really Tennessee-related, but I guess it kind of does all relate. An all-SEC national championship a couple of nights ago, and it was Georgia supplanting Alabama and Nick Saban for the first national title since 1980. I've seen some chatter on all this. For Tennessee fans, I mean, good, bad, indifferent, kind of what's the Tennessee reaction to this?
I think the real answer should be indifferent. You're welcome to pull for whoever you want to, but yeah. If you're picking Bama or Georgia, you're still picking somebody that you most likely don't like, right? If you're a Tennessee fan. So then you can look at what's the impact on Tennessee. I understand the opinion of, well, Alabama already has a bunch of titles. You don't want Georgia to get one. If you have to pick a side, I think that's the correct one. But it's not like if Georgia had lost the national championship game, all of a sudden the program falls apart. Yes, there would have been Georgia fans upset with Kirby Smart, no doubt. But they're just recruiting at such a high level, and their roster was not going to change. They're going to put a bunch of players in the NFL. What they're really doing is providing the blueprint for what it takes. If you want to be the best, especially the best, and remain at that level, you have to recruit at that level. Also, I would say, don't worry too much about it, because you can still find success if you take care of business. While Alabama has so many titles, and Georgia has been so good, LSU did win a national championship a couple of years ago. Auburn has won one in the last 10 to 15 years. Nobody thinks Florida can't get back, so why can't Tennessee? Doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately, and the expectation should not be, hey, we're going to be at Alabama or Georgia's level in the next couple of years. But if you continue to improve as a program and then recruit at a higher level, Tennessee has the resources where it can also be a championship caliber program while Alabama and Georgia are so good.
You just mentioned how do you get on that level? I think offensively, I mean, you return a quarterback, you got a good play caller, you return four or five starting offensive linemen. I mean, the core is there offensively to where you shouldn't skip a beat. Defensively, watching Georgia and Alabama last night just shows you how far off you are defensively. But bringing guys, we flip back to offense, like Isaiah Nair from Wyoming and the transfer portal, a huge get for Tennessee.
Yeah, really good news, I think. You think about big playability. Javonte Payton did not have a bunch of receptions, but he had a bunch of touchdowns for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So you look for playmaking ability to replace him and Velus Jones to help out Cedric Tillman. Then we can talk about player development at wide receiver, and this takes a little pressure off some of those guys to take a step forward. Where I'll just be honest, I'm going to provide a benefit of the doubt to the coaching staff that they're going to get whatever they really need out of the wide receiver or the skill positions. So when you bring in somebody that's already produced, not at the SEC level, but has produced and he's faced defenses where he's getting the attention, and he may not get as much coming to Tennessee because Tillman's now going to because of what he was able to do this past year. Just a really nice addition. Fans are going to say, well, what about the defensive talent? Can we bring in more defensive talent? And that's the appropriate response. But don't turn away good offensive skill talent, because we're also coming out of the national title game saying, well, if Alabama hadn't lost Mechie and hadn't lost Jameson Williams, what might have happened? We don't know, but you need talent there too, and Tennessee just added to it.
All right, so I've been asked this a lot, and I'm sure you have as well, and I've talked about it on this podcast a ton, but maybe a new voice can be a little different. But I've been asked, why isn't Tennessee, why have they been so slow in the transfer portal? Why are they are in on so many guys? Why have they only brought in two guys so far? My response is, well, they're being more selective this go-around, whereas you still need help. You still need a lot of help, don't get me wrong, but last year you needed help. You need bodies. And so they're kind of in the spot now where they've been just a little bit more selective. It's not like they haven't been in on guys. I mean, Jared Verse went to Florida State. Tennessee, the running back that just committed from Wake to South Carolina, never gave Tennessee the time of day, even though Tennessee tried. Just kind of stuff like that. You know, what's your response to that? And should we expect an uptick? I mean, Tennessee's going to bring in some more guys, right, via the portal?
Yeah, I would think so. And my thought has been, be careful about what you expect out of the transfer portal. It is important for Tennessee, and that's why we're saying, hey, adding Nair at wide receiver is good. If you can add Verse on the defensive side, great, because you need as much pass rush help as you can get. But you're not going to build your entire roster that way, and you're not going to flip it or make a big jump as a program that way. It's going to be more about recruiting still, finding a high-level talent there, and then development, getting those guys, or the guys that you already have, having players improve and make a big jump. There will be a few difference makers. Maybe Nair is one of those guys where a year from now people are saying, what a big get for Tennessee. But it's going to be more likely that you find guys that help. Caleb Tremblay helped on the defensive line. So you need players like that. And the truth is, right now, when we come back to recruiting, Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, those level programs, they are going to be the most attractive spots for the obvious difference makers. Removing quarterback. Quarterback's kind of a separate conversation, I think. That's going to be more need. If you have need, go after the best players, which we've seen this offseason. Tennessee has Hooker coming back. But next year, we might be talking about Tennessee bringing in a transfer quarterback. Real possibility. But like Alabama brought in Eli Ricks, All-American cornerback. Mm. Well, that level player leaving LSU is going to look at Ohio State, going to look at Alabama. USC is going to be attractive. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Georgia Tech. He was a player that I know Tennessee fans said, hey, maybe can we get him? But Alabama called, so he's going to Alabama. So those are the players you immediately go after. Other than that, I think you'd be selective and you make sure you evaluate and find guys that help fill a need.
In knowing that there is a game tonight, and at the time of this recording, this is before the game, but I mean, Tennessee basketball, it's wasn't pretty at LSU, wasn't pretty at times against Ole Miss. You know, not trying to overreact here, but how do you fix Tennessee basketball? Because right now, you know, unless you're hitting three-pointers, which this team does not consistently, you're not a very good basketball team.
Well, I think there are two very obvious sides to the argument or just the conversation around where Tennessee's basketball season is. It is still early in conference play, and that can be taken as a positive statement or a negative statement. The negative would be, yeah, we know, but I'm tired of seeing a performance like against LSU or shooting woes just pop up. That's happened too many times already this season for a team that came in knowing we're going to try to shoot more, and we've brought in some shooters like Justin Powell, and that leads to some other questions. Fans are asking, well, you brought him in from Auburn. Why isn't he getting more run? Somebody like Josiah Jordan James. Why is he shooting so often? I'm a big fan of Josiah Jordan's game. He's obviously important on the defensive end. Defense has been good for Tennessee, but offensively, part of it's going to be the coaches have to figure out a way to get him around the basket or making plays around the rim, and then he's got to do it too, I'm sure. But there's a long way to go, so there's time to fix this. But we had that conversation a year ago during the first half of SEC play. Remember they got that big win against Missouri, similar to getting a big win against Arizona, which was right before conference play this year. And then right after the Arizona performance, we have some head-scratchers. And right after that Missouri game last year, some head-scratchers. And I was on the radio on Sports 180 and on this podcast saying, you know, give it some time. You got young players. They're still trying to work things out. And they never did. And if that's the way it plays out this year, then fans are going to be really frustrated, understandably so, because there is an obvious collection of talent. If they figure it out and they compete at a high level in the SEC and they make a run in the NCAA tournament, then we'll look back at this time in early January as, okay, well, that's college basketball. They went through that. They got it figured out. If they don't, well, then it's going to be another year of what happened this season, because that happened last year where you got to the end, you said Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, we wasted their talent. And if Kennedy Chandler comes and goes and you don't do anything with him, then I'll understand the frustration that fans are carrying.
Well, real quick, when is too late? We always say, well, it's early, but when is it where it's, okay, this loss matters? I mean, I know every loss matters, but like, when's that cutoff?
Well, it depends on the goal. Like, if you're trying to win an SEC title, which Tennessee is, regular season, it's pretty soon because you already have a couple losses. Man, it's a good thing they didn't lose that Ole Miss game. Mm-hmm. There's an obvious statement, but this Kentucky game coming up this weekend, it's going to be tough, obviously, going to Rupp. And look, you get them at home, you get LSU at home, but you got to play Auburn later in the year. How's that gone in the last few years? Not great. Right? And they look good. And again, at the time of the recording, they have a big game against Alabama. So there are a number of teams that should still feel good about their position, but Tennessee lost to Alabama. Tennessee lost to LSU. If you lose to Kentucky this week, well, you're 0-3 against the teams that you were competing against to win an SEC title. Now, for the NCAA tournament, you have plenty of time to get things figured out, I believe, because you can honestly, you can get to mid-February, and if you think guys are buying in still and working hard, then things can click. We saw that with Konzo Martin's Sweet 16 team, but that also wasn't a very fun ride through the regular season to get to that point, and I don't know that fans are prepared for that kind of bumpy road again, so I would recommend getting some things figured out very quickly.
As always, big thank you to Josh Ward for stopping by the show every Wednesday. It is Ward Wednesday. All right, that'll do it here for a Wednesday show. A little longer, but we did have to recap a Tennessee basketball win over South Carolina, catch up with VFL Ron Slay, and of course, hang out with Josh Ward. Is that a little weird? Hang out with Josh Ward here on a Wednesday, so apologies if we're a few minutes late, but firm show if I do say so myself. All right. 3 dates in the book this week. We'll finish off strong on Thursday and Friday. Tennessee is appearing. Had a Twitter Tuesday question about this on Tuesday, about the Vols appearing in some of these preseason way too early rankings. All right. It's not just one. It's not just two. I mean, we're talking 5 to 6 preseason polls from various publications have Tennessee ranked inside the top 25. We'll tell you who has the Vols where on tomorrow's show. Plus, we'll get back into our Vols in review and a whole lot more. Plenty of more coverage coming up on Locked On Vols for Thursday and Friday. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen every single day. Now check out Locked On Bets, your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, your one-stop shop for all your sports gambling needs. Check it out. That's at Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen behind your first listen every day, which is Locked On Vols. Congratulations on the win last night for Tennessee basketball. We'll see if that sparks some good times, but of course, a big game coming up on Saturday against Kentucky. We'll talk about that and more on Thursday and Friday. Guys, enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.